My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Congratulations to Trey Young and Scotty Barnes, who are both Eastern Conference All-Stars. They are injury replacements for
Julius Randle. Joel Embiid.
Very good.
I did just watch the NBA TV has their promo for the All-Star media availability that's coming up. And they probably need to rework it because it does have like video of like Domantas Sabonis sitting there talking and everything else. Since you snubbed the guy, you probably shouldn't use him in your promo video for the upcoming event. Just saying. Like, let's be professional here.
This is completely BS.
Yeah, it is. It is completely BS. Like, you know, I don't get that. But anyway.
That's outrageous. What happened tonight?
I'm not going to play the whole minute five.
I love him.
Me too.
He's all amazing.
Right. Kings fall to the Cavs 136-110 last night. Let's get to some of the good, the bad, and the ugly from that performance before we get to the handoff featuring one of Damian Barling or Kenny Caraway. I think the first good thing that you have to talk about is Domantas Sabonis' 12 points, 19 boards, and 15 assists, which looks fake.
Yeah, those numbers do look fake, right? 12, 19, 15. Sabonis has just been an incredible, incredible, consistent star player, all-star player.
Yep.
Like, the fact that he's not in the all-star game is a travesty. The league needs to figure it out, and I feel bad for, you know, Sacramento Kings fans who are out there waiting for someone in the Western Conference All-Star team to get injured so their guy can get in, but that's kind of the game. And you know, he was a monster, man. Like, if you can, like we talked about, he scored 12 points, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then those 15 assists led to at least 30 points and probably more like 36.
Mm-hmm.
So he attributed like 48 to 50 points here. That's incredible. Like, he directly had a tie to all of those points. That's crazy.
Do you want to know all the players in NBA history who have had a game of at least 12, 19, and 15?
How many?
Russell Westbrook, who's done it three times.
Yep.
Guy Rogers, San Francisco Warriors legend, did it once. Oscar Robertson did it three times.
Of course.
Wilt Chamberlain did it seven times. Larry Bird once and Giannis once.
Okay. How many times has Sabonis done it?
Once.
Just that's the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
12, 19, and 15 is hard to do, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, just think if it would have been like a 20, 20, and 15. That's like, that's just wild. So
insane. Right. Let's see. Domantas Sabonis is only the second player to ever have that stat line and lose. Oof.
Oy vey, everybody.
Wilt Chamberlain also lost on March 19th, 1968.
Okay.
If anybody cared. It's so funny looking up Domantas Sabonis stats because it oftentimes puts Wilt Chamberlain front and center.
It's just him and Wilt the time.
Listen to these stat lines. 22, 27, and 19. 26, 24, and 15. 15, 22, and 17. 22, 25, and 21.
Oh.
19, 27, and 16. 35, 24, and 15. And 31, 21, and 15.
That's incredible.
Insane. Insanely dominant.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
Back to it.
Definitely back to it. I think the other good things from this game, Harrison Barnes showed up again. Like he's found himself. He's worked his way back and he's let his voice be heard that he needs to be a bigger part of what's happening. 6 of 10 from three, 22 points. I think in this, we've talked about Malik Monk a lot today, but you just keep needing more Malik Monk when he's on this kind of tear.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to let him go.
Yeah.
Just do your thing, man.
Yep. Their most important player. I would love to see him do that more. With Harrison Barnes, I'm going to nitpick a little bit. It's great to see the shooting numbers.
Yeah, but he's got to do more.
He has to. And like I said, we talked about this so many times with him. It's not that I would say draw up some plays for him early just to get him engaged. So maybe you get a couple assists and 5-6 rebounds from him. But shooting is great, but he's still not engaged in these other parts of the game. And that's a little bit of a problem for me. If I'm nitpicking.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree.
But the fact he's putting shots up, he's contributing in some way, which is more than he could say early in the year.
You know, I'd say the last thing from the good side of the good, the bad, and the ugly is a 5-2 trip is incredible.
Yep.
That is really, really good. It doesn't matter who you're playing to go 5-2 on a long 7-game road trip, longest road trip of the year. That's tremendous. And I'm willing to give him a pass on the final game as just like it all caught up to him.
Yeah, it caught up to him, and the Cavs are just good. Like, they didn't lose to a bad team last night. I didn't watch the Kings and go, wow, this is a huge indictment on their attitude as a team or anything. Like, no, they were close, and then the Cavs pulled away late, and the score looked more lopsided than the game was as a whole, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And their other loss was a 9-point loss in Miami that was there for the taking against a Miami team that was trying not to lose its 8th game in a row.
Yeah.
That team was in the finals last year. So I think if I told you before this road trip through Golden State, Dallas, Memphis, Miami, Indiana, Chicago, and Cleveland, if I had said I'll give you 5-2, I think you would have taken it.
Oh, heck yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely.
A overall very successful trip, I thought.
I thought so too.
What about the bad stuff?
Shot distribution. I don't like Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis taking 9 shots each. That needs to change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's what I get that this is like a democratic offense, right?
Yes.
Like it's going to be very, everybody gets, I would way, way rather, I think, moving forward, and this may not happen this year because it's kind of a stark change, but into next year, I would love to see a very clear pecking order of like De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, those are the dudes. Like, sorry, Kevin, sorry, Harrison, you might only get 7 shots some nights. You might get 10 here and there, but these are the guys who are going to be the primary scorers of the basketball on a night in, night out basis. Again, maybe there's the odd game where Herter's just red hot or Sabonis gets in foul trouble or whatever. But that's what I would like to see moving forward, because if the Kings are going to be a title contender, it's going to be on the back of those three guys.
Well, that's why I will continue to say, Kyle, that if you're going to like really take the next step with this team, it hurts. It's a band-aid that you got to rip off.
Mm-hmm.
The players that you talked about, the Kevin Herters and the Harrison Barnes of the world, they need to be swapped out for pieces that make more sense to support the three.
Yeah,
so they have to be the long athletic defender. It's got to be a true, you know, 3-and-D shooting guard alongside of De'Aaron that can take some of the slack off De'Aaron. Like, those are things you want, these pieces. It's nice to have a guy like Kevin Herter who can get you 3 or 4 assists, who can get you 5 or 6 rebounds in a game and hit a bunch of threes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, there is some, like, it's easier for a team to allow three players to step up and ascend if like say Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is at the
right.
two guard,
mm-hmm.
or you know, name that 3-and-D you know guy sure. at the three.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's where the next version of this team has to go,
mm-hmm.
which is it's tough, but
no, I'm right there with you, man. That's pretty clear to me what the Kings taking the next step is going to look like. It's yes. going to be more focus on those three guys. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but more of the offensive focus on those three guys. There just can't be a night where Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis are combining to take 18 shots.
Yeah, and that's then just... and then of course you get the fourth guy. The fourth guy is going to be Malik Monk,
yeah,
right? That's right. how this thing has to be built.
Yep.
But you need the other players to, and that's why maybe Kyle Kuzma doesn't make sense. That's why maybe Jeremy Grant doesn't make sense.
Sure.
Maybe you need a much more defensive-minded but three-point shooting version of those guys, and it's not easy to find.
Yeah, no, it's because that's frankly what every team is looking for.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's why we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, but that's why playing Kessel Edwards makes so much sense.
Oh, totally.
Because maybe he's that dude.
Well, and I would say that even if he's not that dude, he's giving you the roadmap to the dude you need.
Mm,
you just need that, but a more seasoned veteran version that can actually be reliable on a night in and night basis to shut down somebody defensively, but also provide this offense that is more like...
Complimentary offense.
Yeah. Where you're standing in the corner shooting threes, and sometimes you get a layup here or there. Sometimes you get a back cut. Sometimes you get, you know, a transition bucket. But realistically, if you shot more than 8 or 9 times in a game, that's like you've kind of gone outside of who you are as a player. And that's okay. The Kings need to get to that point, though.
Aaron Gordon is the name that just came to mind when you were describing all that. And I think Aaron Gordon's a really like high-level version of it.
Yeah.
But that kind of... When you watch the Nuggets, it's very clear what Aaron Gordon's role is.
No, totally.
And it's not as a primary scorer.
But look at the Nuggets are who you should be in a lot of ways, like building your modeling your team after. Yeah. You know, while they might be different positions, or you're getting more productivity out of Fox versus Murray, you can see where Keegan Murray could become a Michael Porter Jr. type player.
Mm-hmm.
You just need the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and the right. Aaron Gordon versions to go with them.
Aaron Gordon is 9.9 shots a night, and I'm guessing KCP is probably around the same thing.
Yes, maybe a little bit less.
Maybe, let's see, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I did not realize he's 6'5". I thought he was a 6'3 guy. Kentavious called 8 shots a night.
Yeah. Really, really, really strong defender.
18 shots between those two guys is...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think where where the sweet spot is.
Yeah, I'm with you.
What else you got?
Let's see. Get to the line. You know, the Kings need to figure out how to get to the free throw line. They also need more than one rebound each from, or one combined rebound from their two forwards, Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes. I'm going to give Keegan Murray a little bit of a break because Keegan Murray was defending Donovan Mitchell on the perimeter a lot, and mm-hmm. it's not easy to turn from there and go grab a rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else we got. Fox settled. He needs to go get inside more, even against a long athletic team, and yeah, get to the line.
He's a good enough. Yeah, he's a good enough finisher that I would like to see him not worry so much about shot blockers. Like he's fast yeah. enough and a crafty enough finisher and a good enough shot maker that shouldn't deter him from being a force inside.
There was even a moment in last night's game where he had taken Donovan Mitchell off the dribble, mm-hmm. got to the basket, had Donovan on his back. All he had to do is bump back
mm-hmm.
and hit the layup and would have got the and one with no mm-hmm. question. And he just went up for a real quick layup because he was worried about the shot blocker.
Yeah.
And those are things where you're like, okay, you know, you need to get to the line.
It's bizarre that was a problem last night and was clearly not a problem the first time they played Cleveland.
No. Well,
very strange.
I the first time they played Cleveland, Jared Allen got in foul trouble like super quick and was out of the game.
Mm.
Like Sabonis just absolutely worked him over.
Right.
So let's get to the ugly. The Kings are still trying to figure out how to defend the three ball. I'm not sure what's going on there, but like they just aren't defending the three at all in this game. And I thought they were a step slow.
So I think that's part of it for sure. Where are they at on the season in 3-point defense?
That's a good question. You know, they're doing much better as far as like hitting their shots. They're at 71%.
Ooh.
They are 37.1%.
29th in 3-point defense.
Yeah.
Team shooting 39.5% against them.
That's wild.
That is crazy.
That is wild. And
on
everyone,
35 attempts a game.
Everyone wants to talk about, you know, like whether Sabonis is limited defensively. Their interior defense is perfectly fine. They're 12th in the league and 2-point field goal. 13th in the league and 2-point field goal percentage against. Yeah, that 29.5 stands out. That's definitely a design. That's by design. So they may need to tweak that during the All-Star break.
Yeah, it's just teams are too good now and too skilled now to just say, I mean, Orlando, that double overtime win against the Magic, we went into it going, dude, let Orlando shoot it. And then they made, I think, went 7 of 10 in the first quarter.
There was like three games that week where like, let them shoot it. And they're like, hell yeah, we'll shoot it.
Yeah, and it's like NBA players are just too good now that even that 30% three-point shooter, if that guy is wide open, he's going to knock him down. So yeah, I think that's a defensive adjustment they have to make because that's just not a good way to go through life.
Well, and I'd also tell you that there are things in the league like self-fulfilling prophecies, right? You go up against a team who is known to be a bad three-point defensive team, and so you come into the game knowing that you're going to get open looks and you need to hit them. And a lot of times teams who come in with that mindset that I'm going to get a bunch of open looks from three, they end up hitting their threes. And, you know, so it's possible that the Kings are horrible defensively, but it's also possible that guys come in with a little bit of extra confidence because that's the MO of the team you're facing. And so you gotta shake that. You gotta figure out a way to not allow teams to shoot that kind of percentage from three. That's crazy. 39.5. They almost give up 40% from the field on 3-point shots.
Okay, so in the first half of the year, not necessarily the first half, before the turn of the calendar,
okay,
in 31 games, teams were shooting 37.4% from three against the Kings.
Mm.
They finished at Memphis. That was the game that dominated the Grizzlies, 123-92. And Memphis went 12 of 40. That's 30%. Then they went, this is three-point percentage allowed, 35, and I'm going to round up or down. 35, 57, 35, 54, 38, 42, 43, 47, 46, 39.
You got a problem.
That's really bad.
You got a problem, Kyle.
Oh my God.
But I think if you were to say, if you were to ask the coaching staff, which I probably will ask them this question
tomorrow. Yeah, please
do. If you're going to ask them, they're going to say, well, but we have to take away something. And because of their limit, because they don't have a natural shot blocker, because they don't have like excellent defenders, like natural defenders, they're trying to shrink in and take away the easy buckets, and they're giving up more looks from the outside.
Since the calendar turned, teams in, how many games is this? 18. In 18 games, opponents are shooting 42.6% from beyond the arc against the Kings.
That's not good.
That is insane.
That's how you lose.
Every team turns into prime Steph Curry against the Warriors or against the Kings.
Yeah.
And the Warriors. But yikes, dude.
That is a
wild, brutal number.
That is a wild stat.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing stat. So they don't defend the three ball. And then the other ugly thing, like, I know I get a rap here for not liking JaVale McGee, and there are games where I are perfectly fine with JaVale McGee.
I balance it out because I love JaVale McGee.
I know so many people do love JaVale McGee, right? And I get it. But a game like last night, you're just sitting there watching, and you know how many people hit my timeline and said, hey, why is Alex Len not playing? And I don't have an answer for you. Like, dude, I thought Alex Len was impactful when he was in the game for that, like, seven-game stretch. And then they go away from him, and I get it. Like, you wanted to give JaVale some minutes on his birthday and stuff like that. But
what?
I'm confused. Like, we talked about this. If you gave JaVale McGee minutes against every team, hit every one of his former teams, then he's playing it almost every single night.
Dude, if that's the impetus behind who's playing the backup five for the Kings,
yeah,
what the hell are we doing here?
Oh,
it's his birthday. Oh, it's his former team. I don't give a damn.
Yeah. I'm confused, man.
This is not, I don't want to...
Why do you hate JaVale McGee?
Damian Barling's here.
I don't hate JaVale
yes,
McGee.
Yes, you do.
I don't hate JaVale McGee.
No, just say you hate JaVale McGee.
I don't hate JaVale McGee.
Yes,
Damian
do.
Barling coming up at noon. No Kenny today?
No Kenny today.
Okay, so just Damian coming up at noon. I don't think anybody...
Still D'Lo and Casey. It's always D'Lo
and
Casey.
Kenny. It's D'Lo and Kenny.
Oh, my mistake. That's
Thank
correct.
You. Yeah, D'Lo and Kenny this week.
Yeah.
Also catch them on KSFM 37. Anyways, it's not hating JaVale McGee by any stretch. In fact, he's one of my favorite players ever. But when you watch him in a game like last night and then you watch Alex Len play, it's not like, oh man, that's the reason they lost. It's not anything like that. It's just wondering, as you're trying to maximize the quality of the Kings rotations, it's just pretty clear to me that Alex Len is just the more productive of the two players, and it's confusing when Len plays and he's good and he's productive, and then, oh, and now here's 2 weeks of JaVale.
Yeah, most of what Mike does to me is confusing. I don't understand what Mike, I don't understand what he does with Chris Duarte and with Kessler Edwards. I don't understand what he does with Alex Len and JaVale McGee. I have no idea.
I don't either.
Like you said, that's not a direct reason as to why they're winning or losing games.
No.
But no, I don't understand it either.
And I think that's part of why the JaVale thing is, the JaVale Alex Len thing stands out so much, is what you just said. It's not like this is one thing. It is a season long, and for a while, and honestly, even still to this point a little bit, you're going, hey, you're trying to figure out who your best eight dudes are for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to figure out what lineups work and what lineups don't. It's just like on February 5th, it's just really clear who your best, I mean, third, I guess, technically center, if Trey Lyles is going to be your small ball five, your best backup center, quote unquote, is. And I think it's really clear in the fact that they continue that Mike Brown continues to mess with the rotations, and now Davion's in the lineup, now he's not, and now it's Alex Lano, and now it's JaVale McGee, and now it's Chris Duarte, and now it's not. It just, I think that there's some frustration setting in, especially as the team continues to kind of sit around where it was last year.
Well, I would say too, like, if your problem is defense,
mm-hmm.
I hate, JaVale McGee doesn't help you defensively at all.
Not anymore.
No. No, like, I mean, he got beat to the basket by a couple of guys last night where you're like, what has happened? And he's not blocking shots at all. And sure, he grabbed some rebounds, but I kind of liken it to like the Malik Monk versus like Trey Lyles. Like Malik Monk scores 13 points, and you remember every single one of those baskets. Mm-hmm. It was wild. It was super fun.
Yeah.
Trey Lyles over here was 16, but you don't remember any of it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, he hit some threes, right? What? Wait, he had 16 points? And that's where Alex Len goes out there, and he doesn't do anything spectacular, but he doesn't do anything wrong. He's tall. He stands tall. He plays goalie. He may not have the blocks, but he also is really good defensively at the rim. And sure, can he defend the three? No, but neither one of those guys can defend the three. So I'm just confused. Like, I get it. JaVale's a lot more fun to watch, but that's not what winning is usually about. Winning is usually about like having players that go in and play their role to a high degree and don't make mistakes. And yep. That's why I'm always confused by it.
I agree.
You also hate JaVale McGee.
I don't hate JaVale.
I don't know what that man ever did to you. Every time JaVale does something on the floor, I go, oh, great. There's 12 minutes of James tomorrow. 12 minutes of James going in on JaVale McGee. Great.
That's funny.
Because he dribbled the ball off his foot, picked it up, turned around, and shot a three. Which one of us hasn't done that?
He did that last night, right?
He did. Now, in fairness, the shot clock was winding down.
Was it winding down because of him? Probably.
The context isn't important.
I think it's when I was in Hawaii. I checked my phone real quick. I just checked the box score because I wasn't back at the hotel yet. I just looked at the box score, and the first thing I see on Gamecast is JaVale McGee shot a three with like 17 seconds left on the shot clock. I screenshot it and sent it to James. I'm like, what the hell's going on? What's happening in this game?
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. No, JaVale's fine. JaVale's fine. It's just... He has according to Basketball Reference, his net rating this year is zero. It's just a even.
Straight up.
Alex Len's a plus nine.
Yeah.
Way better offensively, a little better defense. Or a little worse defensively.
Plus nine per 100.
Per 100 possessions.
So, like, yeah. Basically plus nine per game.
Yeah.
It's not just overall he's a plus nine.
And maybe when they get to the playoffs, maybe it'll be Alex Len. But the fact that we're in February and we're still experimenting with the big man rotation is a little worrisome to me.
Okay.
That's all.
I'm with you, Kyle.
Anyways, did you see drunk Kyle Shanahan last night, Damian?
That was tremendous.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was feeling it.
I don't have a problem with it.
It's good stuff.
I'm kind of here for it, honestly.
I mean, that's kind of what Media Night has become now, right? Kind of a circus of silliness. It sounds like there were some good questions asked last night, but for the most part, it's just silliness.
Yeah, I did think the thing that got buried in the answer that we played about him talking to Michael Robinson. And he says, he's talking about when he said Brock Purdy was the best quarterback in training camp during Purdy's rookie year. Mm-hmm. And he said in there, I said it out of frustration, meaning like he was frustrated with how Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance are both playing. Mm-hmm. And that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Even if it was a drunk mind speaking a sober heart.
Well, I think sometimes when people are drunk is when they're the most honest.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Ask Kyle Shanahan all of your questions today.
Yeah, he very well may tell you anything at this point.
So, all right. Damian Barling coming up next.
Show's over?
Yeah,
because I just want to tell you, I hate the positioning of your microphone, and I can't like describe like enough.
Should I do this?
Like hate's just not strong enough of a word. See, now I can see you. No, yeah, because I can see you.
My bad, dude. I just get fired up and I start talking to James.
But you have to remember, this is you're also a radio show that is broadcast out there visually to the world, and I don't want this
right.
Kyle Madsen.
You're welcome, viewer.
Like, no,
this is.
Look at that.
In my defense, I can't see you. He can see you from there. I can't.
Oh, that's funny.
I can't see you.
Well, the good news is next week, starting next week, per sources, I'll be sitting in there. So.
Sources close to
the engineers.
Very good.
Very good.
Well, they're the only people in the whole building that really matter. So
correct.
That's fine.
Correct. Seth, fine. Jonathan, you
that's
guys are
right.
the best.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.